when we think about quant, we think about, you know, kind of three broad things. One is around the ability to capitalize on big data. We think that is, you know, clearly one of the biggest investment trends that we think is here to stay. The idea around being able to take data, create information from that, and profit for our clients. It's a combination of fundamentals of companies. It's a combination of thinking about credit card data, about things that companies are saying in their 10-Ks and 10-Qs, and using computers and machines to help read through that and come up with an opinion on, you know, what the future performance of that company may be.
You always have to think about where inflation is going. So you're right, we've had a couple of weak readings. But again, I haven't seen that demand is shifting downward in a way that's going to jeopardize that gradual upward path of inflation. And because of that, and because of where the economy is, and also the unemployment rate being, you know, low and labor markets doing well, I still think that we need to pull back some of the accommodation in a gradual way.
Hailed as a champion of democracy in Hong Kong, Joshua Wong will spend the next 6 months behind bars. The 20-year-old protest leader fronting the media one last time with his fellow activists on Thursday before all three learned their fate for their involvement in the city's famous pro-democracy demonstrations 3 years ago.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's August 18th, 2017, 5:12 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. And we made it through another business week. How about that? Lots going on this morning. And in our broadcast as well, a little bit later in the program, Rick Cini will be here from faircompare.com. We'll talk some cheap airfares and some other aviation and travel news. And in just a minute, we'll bring in Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management. We'll check over our portfolios and go over some of the economic news from the week. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are flat to negative. The Dow futures are off about 9 points. S&P futures are down just a fraction, so are the NASDAQ futures. NASDAQ futures off about 5. In Asia this morning, markets are generally lower. The Nikkei off nearly 1%. Other markets there as well, down just about 1%, too. The Hang Seng off about 296 points. European markets, the FTSE, the DAX, and CAC are all down as well, almost by 1% each. The FTSE in London off 81 points, the DAX down 90, and the CAC is off about 70 points. Oil is trading at $47.20 a barrel, which is up just about a quarter. Some news that we're following for you since you went to bed last night. This story from Cook County, where former Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York is throwing his support behind the Cook County beverage tax. He's financing an ad campaign backing the levy. Also late yesterday, the Wisconsin State Assembly passed a $3 billion tax break package for Taiwan-based electronic giant Foxconn Technology Group. And if you missed it yesterday, President Trump announced he's abandoning plans to form an infrastructure advisory council. It's the third such industry council to be eliminated by the White House this week after the backlash to the president's comments blaming both sides in the recent Charlottesville, Virginia violence. Topics this week range from a stock market decline yesterday, a big one, to some economic news. Let's bring in Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management. He's a SVP and senior portfolio manager there. He's with us every Friday. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve.
So what from the last past week stood out to you as something we should pay attention to?
I think the Fed minutes are really the heart of the discussion about interest rates, inflation, and where things are going when we talk about the economy. And I think there's really a divide that's starting to build, and other economists are starting to see the fact that after 5 years of quantitative easing, trying to get inflation much higher, we are still stuck with inflation in the 1.6, 1.8 range. And we haven't gotten it over that 2% range. And I think where we're finding the inflation is not in the economy, but in the financial markets, with bond yields very, very low and the equity markets, from a valuation perspective, very high. So I think the unwind of that quantitative easing over arguably the next 5 years, if the Fed does go through with this, may have more of an impact on the financial markets than it may have on the economy.
And that's one of the things that a couple of, I guess, date points there. One is the Fed said that they had planned on starting to unwind some of the some of its what's the word I'm looking for? The
their balance sheet.
The balance sheet. That's the word.
Reduce their balance sheet.
They wanted to start doing that in September, which is coming up. And then, of course, we're looking at that December meeting for a possible rate hike. Those both seem to be in question now, right?
At least the rate hike. I think when you take a look at what the estimates are now on Wall Street, they probably won't raise rates. I think there's a 30% chance that they raise rates in December, and that's well down from over a 50% chance coming into the last meeting. So now I think that's been pushed off to at least March. And I think more of the focus is now on the balance sheet, and I think there is building pressure now within the Fed to begin reducing the amount of holdings that they have in secured in Treasury securities, mortgage backs, et cetera, to do that over some time and to normalize that balance sheet. But as we saw with quantitative easing, the reduction of that balance sheet will probably have some negative impacts, again, more, I think, in the financial markets and maybe even in the economy.
All right, Paul, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management. He's with us every Friday here. He's a portfolio manager and keeps us up to date on some of our portfolio news and economic news.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the Dow Jones took its worst one-day hit in 3 months on Thursday, falling 274 points and landing at 21,750. Big sell-offs as well in tech stocks and the broader market, with the NASDAQ plunging 123 points to 6,221, the S&P 500 off 38 points at the close. A surge in website grocery traffic drove Walmart's online sales up 60% over the past quarter. Watch for a shakeup in the grocery sector, though, with Amazon's deal to purchase Whole Foods. The Labor Department reports the number of Americans collecting jobless benefits has fallen by 9% in the last year to just under 2 million. The unemployment rate has fallen to a 16-year low, 4.3%. And JetBlue Airways says fumes from nail polish remover were responsible for two crew members getting sick on a Wednesday flight from Boston to Charleston, South Carolina, the third such incident in a week. The airline says it's now installing carbon air filters to reduce odors on its planes. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 523. We're on with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, I know you were watching the big board yesterday. We saw the big drop on Wall Street. What do you think was behind that? Saw a couple of different possibilities, one of them being this rumor that was going around yesterday that Gary Cohn was getting ready to quit the advisory council in the Trump administration. What do you think happened?
You know, it's we've seen a couple drops now in the last couple weeks, and what we're getting, I think what we're getting to is two things. One is the August-September period for stocks historically hasn't been a great time of year, so we're up against seasonal factors, if you will, but that by itself does not necessarily mean the market drops. It just means that there's a better chance for it to for the market to drop. But the second part is I think investors are getting more uncomfortable with overall economic growth and maybe questioning valuations for stocks. And we've talked about it for a long time on the show that valuations are very, very high, very bad timing tool, hard to time that using just valuations. But we're starting to see less and less participation in the markets when you look at number of stocks advancing, number of stocks that are above long-term averages, et cetera. Those numbers have kind of fallen off. And part of the reason why we've been shifting portfolios a little bit more toward the conservative side, taking some money off the table here, and being a little bit more defensive as we go forward.
One of the other things we saw this week, a couple of economic points. The housing data came in a little stagnant, low in the Midwest and other parts of the country. What do you think that has to do with? Is that tied to wage growth, maybe?
It could be. We talked about that a little bit last week, in the fact that you know, wages are growing at about 2-2.5%, and housing prices are growing at a much faster rate. So it's pricing out, beginning to price out a lot of individuals in that market, and making it a little bit more difficult for workers to move easily around the country 30 years ago wasn't much for you to pick up stakes and move somewhere else. It's a lot more complicated now, harder to get a mortgage and get into a housing situation. So I think that's contributed to some of the issues around employment.
One of the other things, watching the commodities market this week, it will bring in Orion Samuelson a little later in the program to talk about the grains and some of those commodities lower, some of the metals higher. What is this? Is it sort of negated? Is it all just sort of flat?
Yeah, it is. When you look at the commodity prices, you look at the CRB index or many of the other indices, energy prices have been kind of stuck in this range of low $40 barrel prices. And again, when we go back to that discussion around inflation, when you look at those commodity prices on a whole, it indicates that the global economy, again, because all of these goods are sold around the world, the global economy is moving along at an okay pace, certainly not robust, and we're seeing comments out of Europe about their inflation rates being modest as well, but that we're seeing overall pricing really kind of struggling here, and it's going to be very difficult because of that, I think, to see inflation numbers really pick up, and it's going to be a source of it's going to be a sore spot, I think, for the Fed for quite some time going forward.
Big plans for the weekend, Paul?
We do a little bit of traveling out to North Carolina, but we'll be back in town starting on Monday again.
So you'll be back for the eclipse. Remember, don't look directly into the sun, whatever you do.
You do likewise. Enjoy your trip down to Southern Illinois with all the other crazy people.
All right. Thanks, Paul. We'll see you again next Friday.
Take care.
All right. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find more about him and Kingsview at kingsview.com. And, of course, he's here with us every Friday. And by the way, he said we will be in Carbondale bright and early Monday morning for the eclipse. We will do this broadcast from there and talk a little bit about the business behind the eclipse. And we'll talk to the Adler Planetarium, all of whom are down in Carbondale in Southern Illinois, where that total eclipse happens on Monday.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It's 5:40. Welcome back to the program. Just a reminder here as we get started that sports there was sponsored by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Glad you're here with us for our Friday edition of the program. You know, we've been looking a lot at those new basic fares. Sometimes they're called basic economy fares. I think that's what they call it on United Airlines. And we thought we'd have a little conversation about this morning to see if they're really worth it. Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com, and he is with us in Dallas this morning. So, Rick, that's the question. These cheap fares, we see them now on most airlines. Are they really worth it?
Yeah, so basic, what they call basic economy, each one of the legacy airlines, which includes American, United, and Delta, have sort of a different name for it. But essentially what it is a virtual cabin at the back of the aircraft. They don't actually move the seats around. But it includes a whole bunch of restrictions, typically on the last few rows of the aircraft. Delta's been doing it for several years, American and United more recently. And those restrictions are related to a couple different things. One is that you don't get any miles or points. You don't get to select your seats. You may or may not be able to actually bring a carry-on and put it in the overhead bin. That's on United and American. Delta, actually, you can. And so essentially, it's a more limited cabin, but generally the price point is matching that of ultra-low-cost airlines in the U.S. That would be airlines like Spirit and Frontier now.
I know somebody who did this on United, went out to San Francisco for just a day or so, said it was worth the price. I mean, what do you think? Is it worth the price? Are there benefits here?
Well, it depends. You know, I think everybody's different. In my case, I probably would pay extra for a nonstop on one of those if it was cheaper, for example, than another than it was cheaper than the competition. But you know, and when it's less than other nonstops that weren't in basic economy, I think a lot of people will do that. In many cases, if they can actually find those tickets on comparison shopping, it's kind of hard to see those price points in some cases on comparison shopping. Most of that data is really on the airline websites directly for the moment, but I expect that to actually start to show up in comparison shopping as well.
The restriction of not being able to take the carry-on, I mean, are you allowed to bring anything with you at all?
Yeah, you can put something underneath your seat, backpack, laptop, whatnot, I guess, as long as it fits underneath the seat. And you could certainly check a bag. I guess your carry-on becomes a check bag, but of course there's a fee for that as well.
You also found something kind of interesting here. I didn't realize this, but people may not know there's a convenience fee for some popular flights out there.
Yeah, there can be a variety of convenience fees for doing things. You know, the airlines, bean counters, just in general, have studied the entire process of flying for the last 6 or 7 years since they've basically switched to this model, especially legacy airlines, up into and including, you know, whether or not you have to pay for the oxygen to come down, and deciding whether or not they should charge a fee for certain things and make it optional. And then the goal for airlines over the next few years is to take a bunch of those fees, bundle them together, and then discount them, and then maybe have that show up on your, you know, your smartphone or your smartwatch as you're sort of walking through the airport. The price gets progressively cheaper, for example. So that's ultimately the goal. It may take several years to get to that goal, but I think from a consumer perspective, that's probably a good thing, because essentially you can make the decision whether or not you want convenience or not, and you just have to know ahead of time. One of the problems with these convenience fees is that many times you can prepay them online and they're much cheaper, but if you end up doing it at the airport, they cost 2 or 3 times more.
And so what kinds of fees are we talking about? I mean, how big of a fee, let's say, for one of these popular flights that would be on a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, no, I mean, the fees could be anywhere from $10 to $25, depending on what you want to do. It depends on if you have a branded credit card or not. Sometimes they waive some of those extended fees. It's the thing about it is you really have to read the fine print with some of these things and make sure that, A, you understand what the restrictions are, and B, anything that you might want to do beyond those restrictions, that you buy them ahead of time and not at the airport. And that's the key to really making these fares useful. And they can be quite useful. I mean, look, the difference in price of somebody going from Chicago to Los Angeles, especially at the last minute, inside of 7 days, where the price can be $1,000 to $1,100, and some of these tickets on Spirit could be $400 or $500, you could save up to $500 on those emergencies, and that's a good deal.
And some of these convenience fees, if they're on, for instance, a nonstop flight, would it be cheaper to take a connecting flight? I mean, have you been able to do any analysis about how this evens out or not?
Yeah, just generally, and this is the way airlines actually try to price flights. They have what they call a quality score, which assigns a score to all their itineraries, nonstops, and compares them to their competition. If they think they have a better time or a better duration, they score them higher, and therefore the price is higher. So generally, connecting flights are going to be much, much cheaper than nonstop flights. The only exception is very short flights under an hour, where nonstop flights tend to be pretty much the same flights as connecting, because nobody takes a connecting.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to you, Rick, it's a little frustrating because it feels like we're just nickeled and dimed constantly by the airlines.
I agree that to some degree. They've changed their model pretty dramatically. They don't have to do a whole lot now. You have 4 airlines that control over 80% of traffic. They essentially overlap in only a handful of cities where there's decent competition. Luckily for you guys, Chicago is one of them. and generally, they can pretty much do what they want nowadays. And the price of tickets is generally set by how much money people have in their wallet and what the demand is at the time. And that's usually driven by the economy. At the moment, the economy is sort of okay. Oil prices are down. Ticket prices are pretty cheap. If you are looking out September and October, some of the cheapest you'll find all year long.
So speaking of those cheap flights, get us out of town cheaply. Where can we go?
Yeah, so I was just looking sort of mid to late September. West Coast, Los Angeles, kind of a crazy price, under $100 round trip. That includes United. And most people think those prices are Spirit only. United, $99 round trip there. You also have to San Francisco, under $180 round trip. That includes Frontier, and United's matching that as well. If you want to go out to the East Coast, Washington, D.C., and New York, under $100, for example, in some cases, United matching Spirit there. New York City also in that same price range, you know, really low price at $81 round trip on Spirit. Unfortunately, United's $89 round trip.
All right. Rick, thanks. Happy travels.
Hey, thanks.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Cini and FareCompare at FareCompare. It's 5:46 now here in the opening bell.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. As we watch the markets this morning, futures are flat. to negative, trying to improve here as we head toward the opening bell later this morning. Gold and silver are trading higher, and oil is up as well. Let's check in on commodities and agriculture this morning. And Orion Samuelson is with us. Orion, did you ever get your corn dog and roast beef sandwich or your ribeye sandwich?
Ribeye steak sandwich. Got that, got the corn dog, and also a little sweet corn as well.
The Illinois State Fair.
Had a good day at the state fair, and we got $50,000 for the grand champion steer, and the exhibitor of the grand champion barrel got $25,000. Prices down from a year ago, but that was sort of expected. And all in all, I'd say salute to Agriculture Day at the Illinois State Fair. Went off without a hitch and very, very well.
Prices of grains under pressure still, as they have been the last week or so?
Well, we have two different ways of looking at it. Some people are getting concerned about the lack of heat in August, because August is the month, really, that we bring the crops to maturity, corn and particularly soybeans. August is the month we make the soybean crop, and temperatures have been on the cool side. We're not getting the heat. On the other hand, there are those who say with the technology in today's seeds, we probably are looking at old-fashioned data, because maybe we don't need as much heat because of the technology that we've introduced into the seed industry. So I would say, well, this morning we're looking at wheat up 1.25 cents, looking at corn down 0.5 to 3/4, and soybeans down about 1.25 to 1.75 this morning. So not much change in the grain market as we go into the last trading day of the week. And then we start looking ahead to next Monday's crop conditions and the September crop report, which will be out early in September.
They started renegotiating NAFTA this week. There was the first of a series of meetings. Are we going to see anything concrete come out of this from these initial meetings?
Well, I think the only thing concrete, Steve, is it's going to take forever to get this done. Going back to the 1980s when we worked on the World Trade Organization, the WTO, you may recall there were meetings in cities in various countries on the planet. Many of them had riots and demonstrations and burning of flags and cars and all that sort of thing. And I've said this many times, putting together a trade agreement is like watching paint dry. It takes forever. The United States did take a strong stance in the preliminary talks, got underway, as you said, about midweek, and they said the U.S. negotiator, Robert Lighthizer, who is special trade representative, said that the U.S. would demand major changes to the agreement that would reduce U.S. trade deficits with Mexico and Canada and the automobile industry, particularly active in the preliminary talks, because they think that the auto industry lost too many jobs to Canada and particularly Mexico after the NAFTA agreement. So we'll continue to watch that. Oh, I did want to make the comment on corn. We have a downstate reporter who checks in with us every once in a while. This week said east of Decatur, they are thinking corn yield will be 180 bushels of corn. He said, I drove past the Farm Progress Show site and corn looks good. Ears are starting to dry. Well, Farm Progress Show comes up the last 3 days of the month. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, August 29 through 31. And coming up next week, starting on Thursday, Half Century of Progress Show. That happens every other year when the Farm Progress Show is in Illinois. It's down at the old air base at Rantoul. Max Armstrong will be there all 4 days, and I'll join him on Saturday. We'll be doing a show on stage at the Half Century of Progress on next Saturday.
All right. Orion, have a great weekend.
Will do, and you do the same.
All right, Orion Samuelson, make sure you listen in tomorrow morning bright and early at 5 o'clock for Orion and Max. Right here on 720 WGN. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Friday, August 18th. No big economic reports due today. We'll be watching a couple of things. More discussion on all of those Confederate statues in Charlottesville. The mayor there will make a major announcement regarding the Robert E. Lee statue today. There'll also be some funerals for the state troopers who were killed in the helicopter crash surrounding that. Also today, we'll be watching as President Trump leaves his Bedminster, New Jersey area and travels to Camp David. There's going to be a big national security meeting between him and Vice President Pence over the weekend. And we'll continue to follow the aftermath of the Barcelona attack as well. And we'll be watching Wall Street closely for more signs of potential turmoil today after yesterday's rough patch with the Dow, especially all the things that could move the markets on this Friday, August 18th.